It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's where you get the first look at the upcoming guests and also our op-eds, our guest op-eds, as well as our podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. We recorded a couple of them yesterday. Stephen Peck, millennial. We talked about to mask or not to mask, so that was really interesting. And Derek Wilburn, who was the founder of Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives. My gosh, there were some real nuggets in that particular podcast. He said, many of these young people are not a rebel without a cause. They're a rebel without a clue. I thought that was a great nugget, producer Steve.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening as you guys were talking, and when that one went by, it was almost just like your quote about the road to utopia.
Yeah.
So there are some real gems out there.
Yeah. Mine is a lot of people get hurt on the road to utopia. So in studio with me is my good friend Brad Beck. He is one of the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters. You've written a great op-ed that we'll be rolling out in this week's newsletter. Should I stay or should I go? So it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's good morning in Colorado. Great to be alive.
It is a great day to be alive. And I want to say thank you to this great team that we have, and that is Steve, Patty, Zach, Keith, and Charlie. And thank you to each of you listeners. You're each are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Because every day's a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Right.
Okay. Great show plan for you. We'll talk with Brad about this op-ed in the third and fourth segment. Segment two, we'll be talking with Karen Levine and Lauren Levy about what's going on in those markets. Jason McBride will be with us down at the bottom of the hour. And so, fasten your seatbelts. There's a lot going on here. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or the new one here in America, freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And it's never compassionate, my friends, to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's the stuff is rights, their property, their freedom, livelihood. It's never okay to take that via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And that's why we engage in this battle of ideas every morning to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse with your friends, your family, and your colleagues, because we are really at an important time in our country. So I always do a quote, and since your op-ed was based on music, I thought, okay, I'm going to do a music quote. So this is unknown who said this, but I also thought it was very relevant to what is happening in America today. And it says, if you want to make beautiful music, you must play the white and black keys together.
Yeah.
You know, we need to unite so that we can make some beautiful music, because otherwise, it's just notes.
Yeah. And the silence oftentimes is where the music has its power. But oftentimes people are silent because of fear, as you pointed out. So we have to be less fearful and use the silence to think, reflect, and then act.
I like that, Brad Beck. And that's something that you really do. You know, the thing with Liberty Toastmasters, you've co-founded that. And what's been great about it is it has really helped people find their voices and have confidence to be able to engage in these conversations. You know, I realize, and this happened a long time ago. Don't you remember when we were kids, they said, in polite company, you don't talk about religion or politics. I'm kind of like, well, what else is there? But you know, that was a very subtle way, I think, of getting us to start to censor ourselves. So instead of having a robust discussion where you might disagree, we've just said, okay, we're going to not talk about that. And that has now gotten to a point where people say, we shouldn't talk about that anymore. And you know what? I'm not really interested in censoring myself. I'm interested in engaging in the battle of ideas. And we've played into that. And I think that's why Liberty Toastmasters is so important, because it helps people get their brains around these issues as well as them being able to communicate them.
Absolutely. And I have a lot of questions. I like to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I also want to know about context and perspective. And so a lot of times we don't have that ability to do it anymore because we are self-censoring. And Liberty Toastmasters, as all Toastmasters clubs, we get to practice those timeless principles with the idea of using oral communication and leadership skills development that help people find their voice and help people become better communicators, whether it's in their work, their personal life, or in any aspect that they want to have an opportunity to speak.
And so when does everybody meet?
Well, we actually have a meeting here in Denver this Saturday at 10 a.m. And we meet down at the Independence Institute at, I believe it's
like Clarkson and 16th or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And you have to come in on the north entrance. We ask that you wear a mask coming in and leaving just as a precaution. But folks come in there and they have a two-hour opportunity to speak, listen, and participate in oral communication and public speaking skills.
And people can get more information. I think it's liberty.toastmastersclubs.org, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Denver meets on the first and third Saturdays of each month.
Correct.
And then up in Longmont, so Liberty North, meets on the second and fourth.
Correct. And that's up at the American Legion 32 off of South Bowen Street. And we also have a website for that as well, Liberty Toastmasters North Longmont.
Okay, so more information, go to liberty.toastmastersclubs.org. At this point, there's several different things I wanted to jump into. First thing, this is, I think this is very important, that signatures were turned in for ballot initiatives on voter approval of fees and an income tax cut measure. Backers of these two taxpayer-related ballot initiatives submitted their signatures yesterday at the Secretary of State's office. John Caldera, and actually I'm probably going to have him on next week to talk about taxes. He's president of the Independence Institute. Actually, not next week. It'll be the week thereafter. They turned in 197,000 signatures for Initiative 306, which would cut the state income tax rate by 0.8% from 4.63% to 4.55%. That and free market think tank says the measure is meant to help get Colorado's economy back to its former strength by putting money back into the pockets of those who earned it. And Brad Beck, I think you and I agree that people spend their own money more wisely than somebody else spending their money.
Absolutely. And my friend Don Beasley has a great quote, "The desire for the unearned is the root of all evil." And I agree with that.
I agree with that totally. The other one, which was submitted by sponsors Michael Fields and Lindsay Singer of Colorado Rising Action, it was Initiative 295. And so what has happened in Colorado is, over 25 years ago, the people of Colorado passed TABOR, which was Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights. It's an amendment that's in the Constitution, and it's really about consent. It's really about good manners. And what it says to politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, those PBIs, is if you want to raise our taxes, please, you just have to ask us. If you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, you just have to ask us. And if for some reason we're in a really prosperous year, and there's government takes in tax revenues above a very generous formula of growth, and that is population plus inflation, anything above that, if the government wants to keep those revenues, they have to ask us. And so what happened, though, with TABOR is it didn't take long before politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties were trying to figure out how they could keep more of our money. And one of the ways is word speak or doublespeak. And that is they changed the word, raising money from taxes to fees. And then they didn't have to ask us. And so what Lindsay and Michael have done here is they say any fees that are above a certain amount that brings in that much revenue, PBIs are going to have the good manners just to ask us. What do you think about that, Brad?
I think it's awesome. You know, so often what happens is there's this word speak. They change the terminology, and the average person doesn't have time to read or understand what these words mean. Mm-hmm. And there is always an opportunity to creep. and government will find a way, and bureaucrats especially will find a way to figure out how to get more money out of your pocket.
I think it's creepy when they creep like that.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of other things. I thought this was very interesting. This is from the Colorado Sun. It says a Boulder County zip code produced the nation's most greenhouse gas per person, a study says. It says rich Americans produce nearly 25% more heat-trapping gases than poor people at home, according to a comprehensive study of the U.S. residential carbon footprints. Scientists studied 93 million housing units in the nation to analyze how much greenhouse gases are being spewed in different locations and by income, according to a study published Monday in the Proceedings, this was a week or so ago, of the National Academy of Sciences. And interestingly enough, let me find it right here. Patty has it. Is actually, it's in Western Boulder County. That is the place that has the highest greenhouse gas emissions per person, which I find it so interesting because Boulder is known as regressive left.
Well, we have a moratorium in Boulder County. I live on the eastern edge, actually. I live two blocks from the county line, so I can see freedom from my house. I look into Weld. But, you know, in Boulder County, it's interesting that they have that much of that type of situation where the gases are so much higher there, and you wonder why. I think it's because so many on the western side are vegan. And so, of course, just like cows, there's natural combustion. But, you know, most of the people over there are so anti-oil and gas, and yet they use it every day. And so I think their flagellants may be contributing to the whole situation.
I hadn't thought that wasn't where I was going with that, Brad Beck. So, okay. And then one other thing I wanted to mention. Yesterday, President Trump was in a very contentious press conference, and he again talked about the possibility that the 2020 elections could be fixed or rigged, and he's talking about these mail-in ballots. And so I had talked to our county clerk about this, and there's several different things here. From a ballot integrity component, I feel very confident in Douglas County that every vote that is cast will be counted, and that is very important. That is really what your county clerk is supposed to do, and make sure that each ballot is a valid ballot. But where the system can be gamed is if, for example, a signature doesn't match, and apparently the county clerks have, there's several of your signatures, because we don't always look exactly the same, and so that, if that signature doesn't match, Brad, and you probably know this as well, is that ballot then is put over in another pile. And then you have election judges, I don't know if that's the exact title, but they sit down and they compare that signature to determine whether or not that is a valid signature. And ideally, you want a Democrat and a Republican both to be looking at that signature. And that is a spot that it would be very important for people to volunteer to do that, because that is a place that ballots could get kicked out.
Well, you know, in Boulder County, we did not verify or certify this election. We haven't in the last couple cycles because of our county clerk and the shenanigans that have been going on. Teresa Watson, our chairman, and a whole team have been just fabulous about pushing back and getting people to explain things. And so we have great watchers and great judges now in Boulder County that have been verified that are Republicans. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you have people that register as a Republican, but you never see them. They're Republican name only. So we've done a very good job in Boulder County of pushing back, and now they are trying to figure out how they can usurp our are figuring out what their system is. But we did not certify this year, and that's something that's we're proud of, because you know, we see there's an issue. We've studied it over the last couple cycles, and we've made a difference. Now, the question is, what else are they going to come up with? And this new mail-in ballot, you know, all bets are off.
Well, and think how expensive this is. You know, there is a civic duty. We each have a civic duty to know the issues and to know the candidates. And I think with a mail-in ballot, you get something in the mail and your friends say, vote, 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 vote. Well, you have a responsibility to know what you're voting about. And so I think just everybody getting a blanket ballot, first of all, it's uber expensive. But secondly, it create something called ballot harvesting. And I think we may have to bite that off probably on Monday when we talk more about this particular subject, because I think these mail-in ballots are a way that can possibly really affect an election. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, one of my great sponsors is Hooters Restaurants, and we're having some sports. We're going to have sports. And so Hooters Restaurants is a great place. They have TVs so that you can watch all the sports, patios where you can sit outside on these beautiful Colorado evenings. They have happy hour specials Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. There's lunch specials every weekday. And so for more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Lauren Levy, it's Friday, so we're going to talk with Lauren and Karen. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. The markets were a bit crazy yesterday. We had kind of GDP numbers that I'd like to talk with Lauren about what he sees that's going to be doing with the mortgage market. So we'll be right back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson.com, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's where we roll out all the upcoming guests and the op-eds. Brad Beck's op-ed will be in this week's newsletter, as well as our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast, which those conversations are becoming very robust. And we're going to record one today with Dr. Jill Vecchio. She was on yesterday to talk about her 10-point plan to fix healthcare. So we're going to take a deeper dive on that today. So that'll be in the newsletter as well. But Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, one of my valued partners, he is an expert in mortgages, and he works with a variety of different companies so that he can get what works best for you. Lauren Levy, happy Friday. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Good to be back.
So my question, yesterday, unemployment numbers, was that what the market was expecting? And then my other question is GDP was down significantly over the quarter. So, you know, what's your comments on that, Lauren Levy?
I think the unemployment was a little bit heavier than what was expected, a few more claims. But the GDP, you know, Kim, that's a backward-looking number from last quarter, and I think a lot of people were expecting it to be really bad with the shutdown. And so the effect that has had on mortgages is sort of like more of the same. You know, we had on Wednesday the Fed saying that they weren't going to do anything for a while to rates, like for a real while, maybe even through 2021. And so you combine all those three things, the GDP, the unemployment, the Fed, you know, keeping the market going. And I think you have a setup for where we're going to have some pretty attractive mortgage rates for the foreseeable future.
You know, with that, Lauren, and I know I've talked to several of my listeners who have refinanced with you, and the rates are like, really? You got that rate? I couldn't believe it. But I think people should probably go ahead and act, because when opportunity knocks on the door, you might as well answer it instead of making it knock again, Lauren Levy.
I agree with you. You know, there was a time a few years ago when we were doing 30-year refinances in the, you know, around the 3.375 range in that area, I would say 3.5. And we really joked that we thought we'd never see them that low. And now we're seeing a majority of the time rates that start with a 2 in front of it, even on 30 years, not just 15.
And unbelievable.
So I say again, I don't know if I've ever seen them, if I'll ever see them lower than this. And you don't know. So I would take your advice and act while you can and get something, maybe get something with a two in front of it, depending on your situation. And that's pretty tough to beat.
Well, and the other thing, because there is demand, because we have that number two in front of that, is it has extended probably a little bit the processing time, just because there's probably some pretty significant demand, right, Lauren?
There is. There's a ton of demand, so lenders are definitely backed up. So the process is taking longer, and that's part of my job on the front end, is to kind of manage people's expectations just through the time that it takes. You know, think about it, it's not something in banking where they can just go hire, even though everyone pretty much is trying to hire, but you have to train someone to know how to look at a file and underwrite it and do the process.
Oh, that
so that's
makes
not
sense.
Easy. And so you can hire all you want, but until people are trained and ready to go, you can't really put them into action. And so the processing time has drawn out a bit, but that's okay, because as long as your rate lock is protected, you're protected, and just have to be patient. That's all.
Okay. So you can get protected at a rate lock. And I think anytime you can get anything with a two in front of it, opportunity is knocking on the door, Lauren Levy.
I agree with you 100%.
So people can reach you. I think I've got your number memorized, 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881.
That is correct.
Yay.
Yep, and they can go to the website, www.polyfigroup.com as well.
Okay. Lauren, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Friday. Keep us updated on the current events, on what's happening in that particular market. And if if people can save a few hundred dollars from what they were paying, I mean, that adds up over a long period of time, Lauren Levy.
Absolutely. I agree. And thank you, Kim. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. And jumping over here with Karen Levine, you know her. She's a RE/MAX Alliance realtor and winning awards. She's a longtime friend of mine. Karen Levine, happy Friday.
Good morning, Kim. Happy Friday to you.
So, you know, we had a conversation over time with many of our girlfriends about this AFFH, Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing. And it was something that was put in the Obama administration. And when I was on city council, I looked at it. And what it does is it would put money, federal money, into communities. But actually, the Obama administration had all kinds of strings tied to that. And Trump said that he's going to get rid of that. So I know it's complicated, but what's your thoughts on this, Karen?
Well, Kim, you're absolutely correct. It's complicated. And I think what's difficult is that when you hear the word affirmatively furthering fair housing, that sounds very positive and that would be a good thing to have. But like you said, there's a lot of strings attached. And one of the things we've seen happen, and I think some of the things I've read, is that it effectively encourages communities to build more apartments. And Colorado has continually given the excuse that because of construction defect legislation that was passed a decade or so ago, that's what has kept ownership units from being built, like condominiums, and we're seeing apartments flourishing throughout our metropolitan area. And when we don't provide ownership units to our residents and they live in apartments, I claim that takes away a lot of their ability to create wealth and be independent, and puts more dependency on those individuals to the government, and so less freedoms. And so this is just one more way of kind of coming through the back door and taking away some of our private property rights.
Well, and you had quoted, I think last week or the week before, a National Board of Realtors statistic that people that own their home create much more wealth than people that rent throughout their lifetime.
Correct. And that's a substantial number. Just looking at averages, a renter may accumulate up to about $5,000, whereas a homeowner will accumulate $100,000 or more dollars in their lifetime just through ownership of their housing, because it gives them the ability to generate and create wealth. It also builds on communities, And I think in many of the articles talking about AFFH is the fact that it starts to dilute our communities and not do what it was intended to do, which was to create fair housing. And I'm concerned because the president of the National Association of Realtors feels like taking away or getting rid of this rule is a backsliding or a backstep, and I think that he needs to understand greater what it is taking away from private property rights, which the National Association of Realtors strongly supports.
And speaking of National Board of Realtors, you are back on that board, right?
I am. I have been appointed. It's pretty exciting, actually. I'm kind of nervous, but I'm up for the challenge.
Yes, you are.
The top 75 brokerages in the United States are allowed one seat at the table, and I have been asked to serve for my company, RE/MAX Alliance, because we are one of the top 75 brokerages in the United States. And so I'll be serving as a National Association of Realtors Board of Directors again starting November 1, and am looking forward to the opportunity.
Well, Karen Levine, I'm excited about that because you have such an appreciation for property rights, which is, you know, that's a bedrock of the American idea. And I would highly recommend if people are buying or selling a house, and even if it's a new build, it's good to have somebody sitting on your side of the table who is a great negotiator. And that is Karen Levine. And I have your number memorized as well. It's 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. I know that you would love to talk to any of our listeners.
Most definitely, and I just encourage them if they are considering buying or selling, the first step is empowering them with knowledge, and a phone call to me will give them a lot of the information they need to make a good decision.
Okay, well, Karen Levine, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a bunch, Kim. Have a great weekend.
Okay, and then Jace McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you, Kim.
You know what? I have had several listeners that have reached out to me to say that I said something that wasn't correct. And you actually mentioned it as well. And so I'm working on getting my sources on that. And that was regarding the Trump tax cuts, how that worked out on your Colorado tax form. And it was a conversation that I'd had with John Caldera over at the Independence Institute. And so I'm going to get him on. We're already totally booked for next week. So I'm going to get him on the next week so that we can clarify that, because you mentioned it. I had several listeners that reached out to me, and we want to get it right. So I'm not quite ready to admit that I misspoke, was incorrect, was wrong, any of those words, but we're going to get it clarified, Jason.
All right. Well, now, I didn't say I thought you were wrong. I just said I hadn't heard this and that you had probably actually scooped me. So you may be right, but I just hadn't heard it. So
okay.
I would never accuse you of being wrong, especially not on the air.
Thank you, Jason McBride. So I wanted to ask you also about what happened yesterday with the GDP numbers, the unemployment numbers, the market. What's your thoughts on that, Jason?
Well, the the GDP number was breathtaking in its ugliness, but it wasn't really worse than expected or anything. In fact, I think it was a little bit less worse than expected. But what is hard to process, Kim, is that the one third of our GDP disappeared compared to the second quarter of 2019. Our the GDP of this country is a full one third lower than it was.
Wow.
I mean, that is just absolutely unbelievable to me. It's hard for my brain to process that could happen, and especially by our own hand with
right.
the shutdowns and the the hysteria that's been caused over this virus, which this is not the bubonic plague, Kim. I mean, it's a virus. It's unfortunate that there have been deaths because of it. But when you look at the infection rate and that type of thing, I could go on and on and on. I mean, you know, my brain is melting to think what we've done to our own country. That I don't want to say we, because I think there's certain players that are using this to their full advantage, and depending on the election, this virus may mysteriously disappear
on November 4th.
In November, at least from the media or from mention.
Well, and to that, remember in the very beginning of the whole virus thing, they said, wash your hands for, 20 seconds, sing happy birthday to yourself. You know, now we're over to Dr. Fauci saying that you can get the virus through your eyes. Honest to Pete, do you think we're going to be, walking around with goggles now? The numbers, and Patty keeps a running total on this, I guess this was as of July 29th, the deaths in America was 151,794 deaths. And each life is treasured and valued. Many of these folks had underlying conditions, and we've seen reports of them cooking the books. Now, Herman Cain passed on yesterday, and he had underlying conditions, and he also contracted the coronavirus, and it's a great loss. I really liked Herman Cain a lot, and I'm so sorry about that. But this number of deaths is in line with how many people die from the flu every year. And so the idea that we would do something to just think of the lives that are affected, Jason McBride, with shutting down a third of our economy. I mean, it's cruel what's going on.
Well, yeah, it's insane. And then, this is damage that it will last for a while, whether it's talked about or seen or not. I mean, the small businesses that we've lost, as I was watching Tucker Carlson a couple of nights ago, and the CNC, which is a business down here in Castle Rock that's been around forever, they had to close down. I mean, the corporations can handle it for the most part, and they can comply with these regulations. It's the small businesses, that are operating on a thin margin anyway, where it's a big decision to hire one more employee, and now they've got to, pay for all kinds of different regulations and this and that and whatever, when they're being told they can only operate at 25% or 50% capacity. I think most small business owners would tell you they cannot withstand even a few months of something like that.
Well, and one other point, and then we'll go to break, is there was a regarding the tavern group here in Colorado sued because they, after Governor Polis gave the edict that, you couldn't serve drinks after 10 p.m., and apparently they were trying to get an injunction, and the judge did not give that to them. But I tell you, this virus, Jason, is so smart. It knows the difference between 9:59 p.m. and 10:01. It knows the difference between 5 feet 11 inches and 6 feet 1 inches. It is so smart, Jason McBride.
It's almost like maybe it was engineered.
So, Jason McBride, your phone number over there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. I know that you'd love to talk to anybody that wants to take a quick checkup on their portfolio, and so give Jason and his colleagues over there a call. Have a great weekend, Jason McBride.
All right, Kim. Have a great show.
We'll talk to you on Monday. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, I can't wait to get into this conversation with my good friend Brad Beck, who is in studio. He is a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. Go to liberty.toastmastersclubs.org if you want to learn how to communicate better. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. All kinds of our show recaps, all kinds of great information there as well. We'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like. Just wanted to mention, I'm a Trumpster. And Reggie and Johnny, as you know, they now have a show on Sunday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m. I talked to Reggie yesterday, and we've had some glitches with this bus. It's a 42-foot bus. It is now at the place. It's being vinyl wrapped now, and we are grassroots. We're raising $10,000 to pay for the vinyl wrap, and we're well over halfway there. And so we really would appreciate your help on this. They're going to take this bus. It's going to have a picture of Donald Trump and Reggie and Johnny. They're going to take it into ethnic communities as we are coming into election season. So you wonder, what can I do? This would be something that you could do. For every $50 that you contribute, you'll get one of their very cool battle masks. And I washed mine the other day. They're great little masks. So for every $50, you get a battle mask. And so go to imatrumpster.com to contribute, and then email me and let me know that you've done that. I know many of you have contributed and may not have emailed me, or I don't have your address. I thought I would, when we have this party with the bus, I thought I'd give you the mask, but we got delayed, so you may want those before, and I'll just mail that to you. So just email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Let me know how many battle masks you contributed enough for, and I'll get those to you. And those guys, I tell you, it's exciting what they're going to be doing, so join us. It's very important. In studio with me is Brad Beck, and co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, helping people learn to communicate better. And it's words, it's communication, Brad, that really can change history. We think about the founding fathers and the conversations they had as they were kicking the can on all these ideas, or kicking the tires on all these ideas. And so liberty.toastmastersclubs.org is a great place to go for some information.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the idea that you talk about the founders and them sitting around probably in a tavern talking about ideas.
And even after 10 o'clock.
Yes, 10:01. They would have a new grog. They probably go late in the morning. But what was fabulous about that, and I think fabulous about today, a lot of people getting together and discussing ideas and how they affect their personal lives and what's important. You know, we live in an exceptional nation. I posted that the other day on my Facebook page.
How'd that go?
Well, it was interesting because I put, as you know, on Sundays, a book and a bourbon and a cigar. And I happen to have this Give Me Liberty book by Richard Brookhiser. And it's about the 13th most important to him speeches or ideas that were written down, like the Declaration, and just put it out there. And my sister-in-law put a very interesting quote that said, yeah, it's great that America is exceptional, except for the blacks and the slaves. And I thought, oh, Cindy, come on. You know, I love you. You're part of my family. But I said America was exceptional, not perfect. And I think we have to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. The idea of America, where a group of men came together and recognized the universal, equal, natural rights of all men. Mm-hmm. And even Jefferson, in the original writing of the Declaration of Independence, the part that they took out, the big paragraph, where they're talking about the king and all the usurpations, put the word men all in capital letters. A recognition that these people that were being brought over by the king and his folks were men. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to realize.
Well, and in that whole conversation, Brad, is the narrative, or people haven't really done a deeper dive on this, is slavery was prevalent throughout the world at that time. And slavery had been prevalent throughout history until that time. So these men that got together, they were exceptional, not perfect. And that's something on the left, I think, that we see is they now demand perfection. And we can never achieve that. It's an impossibility. That's why I say my quote, a lot of people get hurt. A lot of folks get hurt on the way to utopia because you just can't get there. But we need to have an honest conversation that slavery was prevalent. And what is remarkable is that these men, they they said this slavery was foisted upon us, and they were trying to figure out what to do. And you can't just snap your fingers and take an institution, a very bad institution, and change it immediately. But it was darn close in history, because within, 70, 80 years, we had the Civil War.
Within two generations, America fundamentally made the greatest anti-slavery movement in the history of mankind. If you think about it, England abolished slavery before America, but they had 900 years to do it. We did it fairly quickly, comparatively. And so you can go today and buy another human being in this world.
I know.
It's unfortunate, but you can do that. And yet we're being held to a different standard as the United States. I'm sorry, no. America is the greatest nation ever established because people recognize that we own ourselves by right, that we are individuals. You own your mind, which is the source of all wealth, and you own your body. And you should be able to pursue your happiness as you see fit, as long as you don't harm other people and take advantage of other people. And I think that's the beautiful aspect. That's the utopia. That's the ultimate idea. It's not taking from others and everybody being equal. We're all equal as human beings, but we shouldn't be equal in outcome. It's really based on your merit, your drive, your perseverance. That's the difference.
Well, and that is the danger with Marxism. Is Marxism basically gets rid of the individual. So we see all this identification with groups. And so I talked about it yesterday, that Mayor Hancock is instituting a think tank regarding racism. And so it'll be, you know, you'll have your group, you'll have the leaders of the group, and my gosh, you know, on your own merit, you won't be able to rise above whatever that, you know, they say in that group. That's not where we want to be. And so Marxism, it gets rid of the individual, and then it also gets rid of property. So when Karen Levine was talking about this policy from the Obama administration of, it sounds nice, affirmatively furthering fair housing, but instead of really encouraging home ownership, which helps people create wealth, it pushes people into rental units. And so, again, it's kind of taking away the opportunity for property rights.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's why, you know, this little article that I wrote, this op-ed, I love music. I love all kinds of music, from country to classical to blues, bluegrass. And I got, you know, like most people, I got a song stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. You know, should I stay or should I go? You know, The Clash, they had mm-hmm. that kind of a punk rock song, mm-hmm. and it was popular in a commercial about 10 years afterwards, mm-hmm. and that's why it's so popular now. But you get it stuck in your head, and I kept thinking, my goodness, you know, should I stay or should I go? Should I go Galt? You know, should I run away from all this craziness, or should I stand my ground? Because who's going to force me to leave my country? Who's going to force me to leave my county? You know, just that I exist in Boulder County upsets a lot of people because I have different ideas. God forbid that I should think about liberty or freedom, or I own myself by right, as opposed to other people. So, you know, music's important. And The Clash were kind of a anti-establishment band. Mm-hmm. But this kind of song just ran through my head. And I started thinking, man, you know, should I go to the market or not? Should I go to work or not? Because I'm told that it's dangerous. Well, I get to make that decision, not some unelected bureaucrat that's going to tell me that this virus, as I call the Wuhan or CCP virus, coronavirus, it sounds very analytical, but, mm-hmm. you know, we call it the German measles, the Spanish flu.
That's
you know,
true. I hadn't
there's
thought
all
of
these
that.
Other, you know, yeah. things from where they're from. Ebola is from where there's the Ebola River. And so most people don't know this. You know, it's from a location where it came from, or yeah. supposedly came from. And all of a sudden, this has to be more clinical. So I start to follow what's going on, and it gets me to think. And that's why I wrote this article about the song. But then it dovetails into the idea of what Leonard E. Reed from iPencil fame came out with. And, you know, he talked about, we don't know how to make a pencil. The pencil company doesn't know how to make the pencil because of the graphite and the wood and the rubber from the eraser and the paint. Well, he also wrote a book called Talking to Myself. And in that book, he talks about eduction versus propaganda. And I had to read that a couple times because I kept saying, well, they misspelled it. It's education.
Okay, let's stop right there. That's going to be a cliffhanger, okay?
Awesome.
This is Kim Munson, and in studio with me is Brad Beck, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. He's written an excellent op-ed. It'll be in the newsletter on Sunday and then on the website at kimmunson.com. Should I stay or should I go? Now, if you're asking yourself, should I stay and listen to the rest of this show or should I go? The answer is you should stay. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim at kimmunson.com as well, and we'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like. And Charlie gets all this bumper music, and those great Westerns are a favorite of mine. So you hear that a lot, but I love that music. And I know that you love music as well. Speaking of Westerns and music, you were in the music business.
Well,
Brad Beck.
In the periphery. I had a great opportunity when I was in college to work with a local band called Rick Tucker and the Good Time Band, and I got to be their roadie. And I was known as the kosher cowboy, which is just hysterical today.
I love that.
Long hair and a beard, and I used to do crazy stuff.
I can't imagine.
It was just unbelievable to get to know the great Norman Petty and go to Clovis, New Mexico and record with our band.
Cool.
And it was just a great experience. And actually, there's a documentary coming out, I think, sometime at the end of this year.
Okay. Yeah, are you in it?
I am not, but some photographs that I took of Norman and our band back in the day are hopefully going to be in that. I sent it to the producer, and hopefully they'll use them.
That's major cool. So, yeah. Okay, let's continue on this great piece that will be in the newsletter this weekend and then on the website. And you mentioned Leonard Reed and iPencil, which I have read. And that's a great little essay about just about kind of the invisible hand, if you will. Yes.
Yeah. Production. Yeah. I mean, we don't know how everything is made today. And yet we use these things, simple things like pencils. And yet they're so complex. Where do the products come from? How do they get there? How do people who don't know each other work together from different backgrounds, from different religions? It doesn't matter. They're looking to acquire value for value. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's what Reed was talking about. Well, in his book, Talking to Myself, he has this idea of eduction versus propaganda.
Okay.
And he says the difference is that eduction is, it comes from the Latin. My Latin's terrible. I think it officially means edicere, which is mean to reveal, to elicit, to pull back and to look at where things are, where they're from. And so education, we hear this term all the time. People say, well, we just need to educate people. I don't know about you, but I don't need to be educated. I don't want to be educated. I want to learn. I want to have wisdom through mm-hmm. experiences. Mm-hmm. And so when people say that to me, I just cringe. But if I put a pro and con idea in front of somebody, especially a young person, and say, here, read all these different opinions for something or against something, and then come to some kind of conclusion, let's have a discussion about that. Let's talk about what you think is right or wrong in that. And we don't have that critical thinking. We have indoctrination. And that's what education is. That's what Reed was talking about. So when I start looking at all these issues and I think, should I stay or should I go? I'm looking at a variety of things
okay.
based on the facts that I'm reading, and pro and con. I'm not going to take one person's idea and say, well, that's correct, without reading the opposite idea and then coming to some balance mm-hmm. for me personally. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea of this book, and that's the idea of what I'm getting at in this whole article that I wrote. And I think it's important for people to start looking at all sides. Just don't take a party line, and I'm not talking political party, but just one person's or one group's idea. You look at what's happening around us medically, socially. there's a lot of different perspectives, and I think we should read those. Turn off the news, read the newspaper, mm-hmm. read various trusted blogs, talk to people, find out what their opinion is, and then come to your own reasoned opinion. It may disagree with what mine is, but at least I know you've had the opportunity to look at things from a variety of backgrounds and different interests, and then let's have a discussion about it. But those people who just say, well, no, it's you're wrong. Okay, based on what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you getting your research from? Mm-hmm. Where are you reading? Who are you reading?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I see a byline in the paper or an article, I always want to know, okay, who's writing this and what's their perspective? Where are they coming from?
You know, it's interesting you're using those words because many times at the beginning of the show, I quote Rudyard Kipling. And he wrote The Jungle Book. He lived from 1865 to 1936. And he says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. Do you know how many of those words you just used in this conversation? Where are you getting your information? You know, what do you think about that? This is the bedrock of critical thinking. Let's talk just a little bit about, you know, something, and we kind of talked about it earlier, is it used to, you know, in polite company, you don't talk about politics or religion. But I actually found, I then came to know that people that said we're not going to talk about it, we're talking about it with other people. They just didn't want to talk about it with me,
right.
Because we might have a different perspective. But once you have a discussion, and do you ever get had discussions where people say, oh, we just agree to disagree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's fine. I have it all the time. I have it family members. I have it with people that I work with. But you know what? We're civil about it. And I think that's what's missing today is people aren't being civil with their differences.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's okay to disagree. That's what's uh-huh. the beautiful part about it. We're not like other places where you can disagree and work like crazy with those constituents or advocates that you want to work with to change things for the better, for the good. And the question is, are you having it civilly? And we don't want to devolve into, you know, another civil war or another episode where people are taking drastic actions. You know, we look at the world today and think, oh, it's the worst ever. You know, this is the most important election. And then I am reminded that our founders, like George Washington, didn't have the luxuries that we have today. And yet, look what they did. You look at the folks that, you know, were in the Civil War and the fighting that went on. They didn't have any, they couldn't take a hot shower, as my mm-hmm. friend Shari Williams said last night at an event. You know, you look at these people who fought and stormed the beaches at D-Day and at Normandy, and they fought for an idea. And today we have it so much easier. So we're not there yet, and I hope we don't get there.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we keep thinking about how to make things better and have those critical discussions with our friends, our neighbors, people are afraid to talk to each other today. All around my neighborhood, there are divergent opinions and signs popping up that I fundamentally disagree with. And yet, you know, when I'm sitting on the porch during the day and on the weekends and or doing yard work, and we'll talk about different mm-hmm. things and we can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to persuade, you have to know all sides of the argument. And that's why I think it's important, this idea of deduction, to understand other people's perspective. And you don't have to agree with it, but at least you understand it. You're not just saying, hey, you know, written them off.
So with that, you know, one of the things that we have learned that if, in fact, and I think C.S. Lewis said something along this line, that if you cannot defend your premise, maybe two or three questions in, at that point, you might want to check your premises. But what happens many times, people then do just say, oh, we agree to disagree, instead of really checking that premise. And as I was preparing for one of the shows this week, I thought it was Coolidge that said it, and I looked it up. And he said, if all men are created equal, then that is final. So with all this racism talk, and, you know, Mayor Hancock doing this race think tank, so do you believe that all men are created equal or not? Because I happen to agree with Coolidge that all men are created equal, and that is final. What else can you talk about on that? What's your comments on that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm studying with Dr. Tom Cranweather, This Tragedy and Triumph, the history uh-huh. of slavery. And we just finished reading a lot of John C. Calhoun. And he makes a brilliant argument in the beginning, and then he pivots, and he talks about how people are born unequal. You know, when you're a baby, you're not equal. because you don't have the intelligence, you don't have the liberty, you don't have the mindset. Mm-hmm. And so he made a case for this. And what's fascinating is so much of the left thinks that way today. There's a direct correlation with it. And yet we know that all men were born and are born equal in that they're human. Mm-hmm. We're all equally human. And that's the difference.
When they ask me race, I say human.
That's right.
Brad Beck, we're just about out of time. But again, Liberty Toastmasters, great way to get your communication skills and kick the tires on other ideas. And so tomorrow, Liberty Toastmasters Denver will be meeting at the Independence Institute. More information is liberty.toastmastersclubs.org. It's always great to have you here, Brad Beck. You've got about 30 seconds. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, come on, visit, practice oral communication, get better at public speaking. We love to see people go from fear to fabulous in their ability to communicate. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Kim.
It's great having you here. And your op-ed will be in this week's newsletter, so be sure and sign up for that. Our quote for today is music. Again, in honor of your op-ed. It says, music is a moral law. It gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, a charm to sadness, gaiety and life to everything. It is the essence of order and leads to all that is good, just, and beautiful, of which it is the invisible, but nevertheless dazzling, passionate, and eternal form. It's an unknown, but I loved that. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.